my soul, and I got some new clothes for you niggas that don't know. I've been strumming on these strings, I've been pulling at the seams. I've been trying to figure out a way to get up off the leash. Working the day job, it's wrapped around my neck, so I act like A-Rod. And I've been Mr. Lonely, but my name is not A-Con. Whipping in the kitchen while my hands on my apron, blowing up like a napalm. Look, I think about it often, like I'm your favorite option. High prices like an auction, I go with this and options. But I feel like the touch and go is just a bit obnoxious. But then again, it's hard to shake the feeling when I'm on it.
All right. Yeah.
When I'm on you. When I'm on you. My thoughts sitting in any
bar. What up, what up, what up? Tune you on your early, fam.
Came to my heart, do you really
what
care?
Up?
But you only care when your toes is in the air. I did it, Bob.
Hey, I did it, Bob. Hey. What up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Black Culture The Breakdown. I am your boy, Jersey. All right, we're back for episode 24 called Born Hustler. We got a lot of dope guests in the building tonight.
Yes!
All right, we're about to get into it. It's all about being a born hustler. And the question of the day is this. Can a hustler be born or can they be taught? Do they have to be born or can they be taught? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just an interesting, complex, interesting question. But let's get my boy on here. Thurman, I'm about to get this conversation. Well, anyways, how y'all feeling? About to get this conversation on a couple. What up, everybody? How y'all feeling? Thurman, you ready? About to get you on here. Hey, dear.
Yo, man,
what's up, bro?
Doing good, bro. Doing good. Just left the gym.
Man, welcome back to Black Culture The Breakdown, my brother.
Glad to be here.
Of course, of course.
Yes.
So first of all, tell the people who you are and what you do. Let's go.
Well, for people that do not know, my name is Thurman Brown III, TB3 for short. I'm a model, actor, and teacher, and sort of a social media influencer.
Okay. Stop playing out here and let them know. Man, first of all, this ain't your first time on Black Culture. You've been on season one, which was like maybe almost a year ago at this point.
Yes.
Time is really moving. And we're back to my brother.
And honestly, we winning. Like, I feel like time is blessing us. We aging like wine, so let's keep it coming. Like, I'm ready for 2022 and 2023 to be on here.
Okay, listen, we definitely out here aging like wine. You know, ain't nobody trying to age like milk.
No.
We got to show we stay up. Man, that goes into an important question that I want to ask you about. Just how important is you just came back from the gym. How important is physical health, yo, and just being in shape?
To me, physical health is very important because I work as a fitness model. You know, I compete on athletic game shows, so I need to make sure that I am in the top, you know, shape. And it really does help my mental health because when I'm stressed out from doing auditions all day long, I go to the gym, get a good workout in, and I de-stress. When you work out, your body releases endorphins and dopamine, and that really does, you know, make you feel better about yourself and give you a better mood.
Definitely, definitely. Now, for a lot of people, I think everybody wants to work out, but I think what probably people find the lack of is motivation and the drive to get up and single day. What are some tips that you do to kind of stay on task, stay on track, daily motivation?
My motivation is that health is wealth. So staying in shape and working out, even walking a mile a day or walking around a block, that increases your cardiovascular levels. And we need to do that because if you want to live long, you might as well live long and healthy. You don't want to live a long life and then you're sick. So just always consider the longevity and the quality of life. And that's why I work out. That's why I pull for motivation. Hey, Sierra, what's up? Thank you so much for tuning in.
Okay, thank you so much for tuning in.
Yes!
All right, and you know what, man? So getting that heart, the cardiovascular movement, like you said. So, because I feel like even in the pandemic, a lot of people were just kind of like over it.
Yeah.
Wasn't motivated. crib, you was not working out. What, like, if something like that was to go down, how did you stay in shape, by the way?
I ended up losing a lot of muscle because I did calisthenics. And calisthenics, like HIIT training, high-intensity interval training, burns a lot of muscle. So I lost a lot of muscle during the pandemic because I was stressed out and I was working out for like 4 hours a day. Because I gained weight. I was like, I'm not going to be big therm no more. I'm going to stay therm because I feel like growing up, like the girls used to call me Sherman from Nutty Professor because I was obese. And now I'm like Buddy Love. And I'm like, I'm not going back to Sherman. So I'm like, I need to stay outside, get my calisthenics in, and making sure that I'm in tip-top shape. So that's what I did to stay in shape during the pandemic. And I hope we do not go through another shutdown.
Yo, if we go through a shutdown again, what would you tell people to do in terms of staying in shape?
I would tell people do at-home workouts, Beachbody. I'm not sponsored by Beachbody, but Beachbody has several different DVDs and programs for all different shapes of life and work schedules. You have 20-minute workouts to 45-minute workouts. You have tough workout programs, and you have intermediate workout programs. So I recommend, like, if it does happen again, make sure you get a Beachbody subscription, or you can do some workouts on YouTube. They have some 40-minute workouts on YouTube for free.
Oh, $3.99. Okay. You know what, Thurman? Drop your cash in. You're dropping a lot of gems right now for free.
I honestly don't. You can donate on PayPal. BeThurman14@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes.
Make sure you hit that. All right. Because out here, it is the pandemic is wrapping up. But nevertheless, it's still the tail end of the pandemic. And we still out here hustling, trying to make that money. All right. So now, man, physical health, mental health, super important. I feel like the pandemic allowed us to be in a space to be appreciative of our physical health and be appreciative. Because so many people lost their way along the way. That makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's really important. Let's talk about Simone Biles, yo. She just broke all type of records in this last competition and just being a superb athlete. What do you think about Simone Biles?
I am very impressed with her performance. I believe that she trains like 8 hours a day. Like, this literally is her life. She takes no days off and literally. In honor of Simone Biles, I am wearing like an Olympic themed tank top. You see the Olympic gold rings right there.
Okay.
You know, yes. Culture. I'm really proud of her, and she is literally breaking down barriers for the next generation. And I believe in this Olympic Games, it was like all black girls. They had a whole team full of nothing but black female gymnasts, and that was just groundbreaking. It was revolutionary.
Definitely dope. It's actually an interesting space because you speak to that, like you're actually in the fitness space as a black man. Do you see that the industry is changing a little bit, or do you feel like it's a little different? Talk to us about that post-pandemic.
One thing I do not like in the fitness industry, I do not feel that all African-American fitness influencers and fitness models are being represented, because it's a lot of people on social media that, oh my, Stacey Irvin Jr., Simone Biles' ex-boyfriend, he is a all-around athlete. And I believe that he is not getting the flowers that he deserves while he's alive. And he needs that. Don't give him his flowers when he's dead. Give him his flowers now. Because when I compare my level of fitness to his, he surpasses me by years. And it's a lot of other people in the fitness industry that are not getting the respect that they deserve. Even in boxing, Clarissa Shields, Shakur Stevenson. These are the best boxers in the world, and they're not getting respect put on their name that they deserve. That's why I reposted on my story, because I'm going to give you your flowers while you're here, because you deserve it and you earned it.
Definitely, that's a fact.
Yes!
Okay, make sure you give flowers and give respect when it's deserved, especially to people that are excellent. You know what I'm saying? It's time. We're taking off. Whatever is ours, we're taking it. How about this? Plans for 2021, man. What's your fitness goals for 2021?
Fitness goals for 2021?
Yeah.
Fitness goals for 2021. I want to pack on like 11 pounds of solid muscle and not pack on any fat. If I do have to pack on any fat, let's keep it to 3 pounds minimum. Well, maximum. In my career, I want to keep taking off. One of my goals is to be published in Muscle and Fitness. I can't make this dream come true, but I do have to put in more work. I'm already putting in work, and I'm dominating you know, in my opinion, in the acting route, I am going to be dropping more of my acting work. I'm not really comfortable. You see, I got kind of got choked up there because I'm not really comfortable sharing that side of my life. Because, you know, I want to keep that more personal, but I realize with these TikTokers, they are literally taking opportunity and skipping the line. So I want to show people that not only am I a fitness model and not only do I do commercials, but I have been in several short films. I have been stand-ins in major feature films, and I'm going to show that way more in 2021. Even though I'm not that comfortable with it, I am going to do that in 2021.
Definitely. Well, make sure you be on the lookout, buddy.
Yes. Y'all. All
right. So then now, let's get to the last one. Being considered born hustler, but I want to ask, being a hustler, is that something that you're born with, or is that something that you have to do?
In my personal opinion, you are not born a hustler. You can become a hustler because leaders are not born. You have to, in order to be a great leader, you have to be a follower first. So to me, if you are going to have that hustle mentality, you're going to have to pick up those traits from somebody that has already been a hustler. To hustle the right way, if you want to hustle the right way. Now, if you want to hustle the wrong way and not learn from other people, that is your choice and your preference. I personally, because I'm hustling right now in this entertainment industry, and everybody that I talked to, even when I met you at the American Black Film Festival in 2019, I'm taking tips and gems from you so I can learn how to hustle the right way.
Definitely.
So I do believe that hustlers are not born, they are created.
So let me ask you this. Follow first to lead. People that just follow, continue to follow, transition leader. You know what I'm saying? Have it in them to be. Either. Does that make sense? What do you say about that contrast?
Wait, Jersey, that broke up a little bit. I know you said you were talking about followers and leaders. Can you?
I was saying, and by the way, if you're in the comments, answer this question as well. Being a hustler, is that something that you're born with or something you have to be taught? I would like to know your comments. Answer in the comments below and I'll read them out, okay?
Yes.
But for you, Thurman, I want to say for people that are followers consistently and they never transition into actually becoming a leader, what do you say about those people? They just don't have it in them to become a leader. So even though it's something that they've been taught and they've now been taught how to lead and they still don't know how to do it, what do you say about that contrast?
If you are not comfortable with being a leader, you can be a strong follower. Like LeBron James was saying, everybody is not meant to be an NBA player. We need people to be managers of Walmart. Managers of McDonald's. Everybody is not meant to be in the limelight or lead a pack. Some people are meant to support, like behind every great king is a great woman.
Absolutely.
Or even vice versa, because you have women that are leading men. I don't mind taking the backseat to a female. I will literally be the stay-at-home dad and hold it down for my wife while she takes over. So I would say it is okay for you not to be a leader if you are not meant to take the weight, because you're taking the weight of everyone on your shoulders. Even how you're a choreographer, you have to lead a whole dance team. A lot of dancers are not meant to be choreographers because they're not teachers.
Okay. First of all.
Yes. It's okay for you not to be a teacher. It's okay. I feel like we live in an era now where everybody wants to blow up on social media and be relevant or be active. It's not meant for everybody. Some people will break under the pressure, and some people are meant to be behind the camera. And in some cases, you make more money behind the camera. So
okay.
Be open to not being in that main spot.
Absolutely. Man, you definitely hit it on the money. First of all, Thurman's giving out advice for free tonight, everybody. All right? Stop that Cash App later. And 100% facts. I agree with everything that you say. I feel like there is no right or wrong answer to that question because there's so many different ways to view how a hustler is put on. But you see people that are rich and some of them come from different walks of life. Some of them, parents already they know how to make it. Some people came from it and built their whole empire from scratch. And, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like however you become a hustler is the interesting journey of it. Saying, but
yes.
Appreciate you for coming. Real man.
Thank you so much for having me, and I love that we were able to connect again. I was brought on season 2, and you bring in the most influential African American trailblazers. The fact that I was chosen, I am truly honored, and I can't wait to see the next two that are going to be.
Okay, man. Man, any TV performances we should be on the lookout for?
I would just say, because you know, I got these casts and directors and these agencies, you know, watching this live or going to tune in and watch it later. Just that I will be potentially making my return to a network that was already on. I don't think I gave too much away, but I will be returning to a network that I was already on. I'm going full circle. Full circle.
You're going to be on the lookout.
Yes.
All right. All right. So let everybody know where they can find you and leave us out with something positive to end the live with this segment.
Okay. I'm gonna leave this room with two different quotes, but you all can follow me at ThermB on Instagram and on TikTok. Two things I would wanna leave you with is one of my favorite quotes: God's gift to us is life. What we do with it is our gift to God. And when it comes to social media, please keep this in mind. Some of us are, when you presume us to be living our best life, sometimes we're actually living our best lives. Because everybody goes through a struggle, yes. Because we're not posting the negative things that come in our life, does not mean that we are not going through the same struggle that you are. Some people wear a mask and they hide behind a smile. So be a genuine person, do not be a troll, and spread positivity, peace, love, and happiness.
Come on.
Yes.
Yo, drops mic, my brother. I need to up to so you can connect me with the dopest trainer, because I'm trying to get my best fitness life on and popping like Will Smith out here, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Transformation is real. He may be playing Superman, hopefully.
That would be dope.
You know, we're getting a black Superman this year, so I'm here for it, and a black Ariel.
I'm excited. I'm here for it, too. But my brother, Thurman, it was a pleasure having you on the show again, and we'll definitely see you soon for season 3.
Thank you so much, Jersey. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the fall at the American Black Film Festival if you make the return.
I would definitely be here at the end of the year, my brother. Until next time, Thurman, everybody. All right, y'all. So that was Thurman. And he is a fitness model. Come on. Overall comedian. Come on, he's cracking jokes on here. And a fitness enthusiast, all right?
Yes.
We need to get our lives together. Are we getting in shape for 2021? Okay.
No.
Everybody's been eating. It's been quarantine. Y'all know what y'all been doing. Don't lie, okay? Get y'all lives. There's something coming around the corner that's going to take us out of here if we don't get our shit together. It's called diabetes.
Yes.
I'm just playing. We're not speaking that into our lives, into existence, but we got to get our lives together fitness-wise, right? Let's get Adia Singh on the live. How are you feeling? What up, Jermaine? Oh, what up, Adia?
Hello. I'm about to hit myself with this smooth baby face right quick. Yes.
Okay. Welcome to Black Culture, the Breakdown.
What's up? Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thank you for pulling up. First of all, sure.
I literally, when I tell you, I just ran in the house and sat down like right in time for this, which is why I got this filter on my face, because I look lightweight, look crazy.
Look beautiful. Right?
Thank you.
So, welcome to Black Culture, the Breakdown. Tell the people who you are and what you do.
Okay. My name is Adia. I am a singer-songwriter, a Christian singer-songwriter, although I do not just write Christian music. I sing professional background vocals for Pastor Mike Jr., Kiara Sheard, Isaiah Templeton, and I'm a member of Elevation Church.
Dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Everybody, we like when we see Black people doing great things.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So, bring it back to the beginning for us. How did you even get into the game? Like,
so, first of all, I wish you were louder on my phone. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Can you say something?
Can you hear me now?
So honestly, I was born into a musical family. So both of my parents, they sing, they write, they're gospel producers. My mom, she acted in plays my whole life, wrote plays, performed. She was kind of like the female Tyler Perry of Chicago years ago when I was growing up. Yeah. And so for me, I just grew up in a musical family. Both sides of my family sing down. And ever since I was in the second grade, I've just been writing. And so after I graduated high school, well, right before, actually, I took a trip to Chicago. I was like 17 years old, and I had got a glimpse of what my life could be like pursuing music. And I was like, well, I'm going to try college for a minute. Didn't last a full semester. I was like, eh, not for me right now. And ended up pursuing or starting to pursue a music career, and I've just been at it ever since. I actually started off in girl groups, kind of like the Pussycat Dolls and Danity Kane and stuff like that. And then I had some life altering situations, and I really believe that I was called to produce a certain sound in the Christian community. And I felt like for so long I didn't want to do gospel music because I was afraid to be boxed into what the sound is, because that's just not how I naturally approach music as a creative. But the Lord told me that no, I want you to be you. I need you for the people. And so I just started creating music that was authentic to me and my sound and how it naturally comes out when I hear beats and music and writing and melodies and stuff. And here we are.
Mm-hmm. Like, you just lifted so many people that you've worked with. Like, how, bring it back to the people that want to know how to get into the music industry, right?
Sure.
And now, what is like the key, what would you say is like the key element that it took for you to be able to get your next gig and your next gig and your next gig?
Persistence. You, like, I have so many people tell me all the time, like people who know I've been doing this 13 years now or longer. Did not tell my age all the way. But I have people that tell me all the time, I'm just so proud of you. You never quit. You failed so many times. I always kind of chuckle when they say that. You fail so many times, but you never quit. But that's facts, you know? In the music industry, I mean, it's really about who likes you and who gravitates towards your music and who you can relate to. And yes, it's God's hand on you as well and resources, but more than anything, it's persistence and continuing to stay in the people's face. And I think over time, you know, it's so much about how you look and how you sound and what you're doing that people get tired of that. Some people are just not built for this industry because it's really, really, really ruthless, whether you're in gospel music or mainstream music. Gospel music, just like Deuce, I forgot his name, which I really enjoy him. Some of them just wear a mask, you know, but it's still the industry and it's still shrewd business. And if you're not persistent, it's really easy to just not be thought about again. You know, if you do something one time and then you don't follow up, or if you meet somebody and they enjoyed you and they tell you, you know, I'm a follow up person, I'm a networker, I like to communicate, I like to meet you face to face, I'm gonna come out to what's going on. You know, it's just important that you do that, especially when starting out.
You know what, that brings me to my next question. All of those are such facts and such gems.
Yes.
Consistency. But
yes,
in terms of talent, mm-hmm. how important is your talent versus how important is it that your business is right? In terms of, like you said, like, I feel like persistency doesn't attach to talent. Some people could just wake up and know how to sing, or wake up and know how to dance, or wake up and know how to do these things. But if the business ain't right, they won't get up and be on time and answer the phone call and the emails. Mm-hmm. How important is it to have business over talent, or talent over business, or both? Talk to us.
In a perfect world, both would be my answer. You know, if we really want to be real. But to be totally honest, it's way more about your business. It just is. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. I mean, it's a lot of talent out here. And thank God for the internet, because the internet has created a space for a lot of creative people to be able to come and go viral because they're so good. But then if that's the only video you ever see from that one person, they just went viral and then you never hear them again. You'll just see like the girl who was doing a little dance video in the Apple store and then they caught up with her 10 years later and she's doing makeup, but she doesn't really have a lot of followers. She doesn't really have a business. Just 10 years later, she's just now really getting started. I think it's amazing that she's starting, but you went viral. That's a prime time for you to maximize off of the new followers and engagement that you just had, you know? And so I think that business is absolutely more important. I hate to say that because I am a real creative, but I was that person that was about the music. I love the music. I love the process. I want to be in the studio till 6 in the morning every night. And then for what? But if I don't know how to promote it, if I don't know how to market it, if I don't know who to send it to, if I don't know who can help level it up, you know? So
that is 100% fact.
Yes.
And you know, girl, that hiatus. How important is that in the industry, just staying in your timing? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when you lose that traction, and that's what persistence gives you, traction, right? Mm-hmm. When you decide to be like, I'm taking a break, I'm tired, I'm over it, I'm stressed, I can't do it, I got to take 2 years off, and now I'm back, and then you're like, I got to start back from zero again. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about just how important timing and getting that traction, and when you have that traction, staying in it.
I did exactly what you just said. I went through a legit, this is a transparent moment, guys. I went through a, I hate to use the word depression because I believe in people really being clinically depressed. So I won't say that I was a depressed person, but I went through a moment where I had moments of depression a lot because I had a situation with, I first came out, my song was blowing up. I had just got signed to Malico. And to their new urban division. So I was the first female artist that they were pushing through that division. And it was really geared kind of towards like the Christian hip hop lane and da da da. Long story short, had management, my manager and my publicist, them together, they were like changing my life. Just the opportunities and platforms they were able to present me on. Like I did, oh my God, Pretty Girl Sweat. I did Essence. I did Rolling Out. I did so many different type of like press things and life was good. You know what I mean? No, sorry. That's from a song. If you don't get that, was corny. Anyway, my point is some things hit the fan and I no longer had my management and things went crazy in her life and she had to just kind of dismiss everybody she was working with. And she had way more higher profile artists than just myself. And at the time, I didn't know how to be, like, I am very self-sufficient now, but then I heavily relied on my management and my team because I was so creation-based. Like, I wanted to create the music, da da da, but I was very business ignorant. Even though I had been in it for a while, I was ignorant. I'm completely 360 from what I am now. And so I took a break because I didn't know what to do. And I was sad. I felt like my life was over because now I don't have a manager. And this is who was doing all these things for me. And my label also, you know, was new. I was, again, the first artist that they were, the first female that they were trying to do a specific thing with, not to over talk, but they also heavily relied on her and what our publicists and just as a collective. And so all of us were kind of like, just not clear on what the next steps were. And for me, instead of going hard like I would now, or like, you know, just hitting the pavement, I gave up, you know, I gave up from it. I'm like, you know what? I need to get a job. Like I was living in Atlanta. I'm like, I need to get a job. I'm about to get an apartment. Like I need to get myself, cause I was living with my manager at the time. And so I had to separate myself from everything that was going on. And instead of going home with my parents, which I could have done to continue to pursue what I was doing, I took this route. And so saying all that to say, I hopped out a couple times, did a few remixes here and there. I did some with Angie Rose. We started remaking like popular rap songs, making Christian versions to them, but you couldn't tell unless you were really, really listening. And that kind of became a thing for me. And again, my first album, I did not write and produce that. It was written and produced by my mentor at the time, Blaze Crawford. And so I just was coming into my own everything. You know, and so I took time to develop it. Once I started really realizing like, okay, I have something, like, let's just focus on building this, you know, and that's what I did. And I popped out with an EP during COVID, right before COVID hit. And that is kind of like what started catapulting everything that's happening now. That was kind of the new beginning for me. And at this point, you know, I'm in a place where I'm ambitious and I want these things more than anything ever in life. And there's nothing that I'll allow to come in between because I'm confident in what I have now and I'm confident that God called me to it. Sorry if that was a really long explanation.
Listen, it's your story and I feel like it was needed. You know what I'm saying? And I took so much away from that because you understood where you went, I guess, where you went wrong before and know that in this situation, this season, you will never do it again.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I actually have your music pulled up here, Taste and See.
Oh.
That's your newest single, correct?
No. So that was a feature I did. Shout out to Morales. I met him on Instagram. He's a very talented person. And we did that together. But that is actually not my song.
Okay. What's your latest? Tell me what's your latest single.
My latest single is God Took His Time. And I have that actually pulled up for you guys too.
Oh, well.
You told me to be prepared to do an original. So, you know, if I'm going to do that, I gotta do it. No, but that's my latest single. I did an acoustic version. So I recently dropped a deluxe version that has the acoustic, the live version, and then the regular version and the thank you.
Okay, dope. Well, you know what, Kumi? I just feel like you just gave such a dope story, synopsis of your career. And I think how dope would it be for you just to end it off with just us understanding what your gift is. And that's just...
I like how you segue that. All right, say less.
All right. Introduce the track that you're about to, you know, do for us and let's vibe out.
Totally. So this is called God Took His Time. This song I wrote in I was feeling insecure one night. I was in the studio feeling kind of like girly. And I was like, you know, hey, nah, you know, I wanted to lose some weight. I was just in a little weird spot. And I'm like, you know what? God took his time when he made me. I'm one of a kind. I'm top of the line. And there's nobody like me. And so this song is called God Took His Time. And I hope that it encourages you to be confident in the you that God created you to be. Can you hear this okay? Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? You're beautiful when you see. Out of control, you don't see. You came up, can't knock you down. You're an ego, you're strong now. Yeah. I see you, yeah. You're glowing, you're rolling. So lethal, yeah. Explosive commotion. Walk in the room, you're freeze. Yeah. You stop the time when you leave. Oh, S-P-E-C-I-A-L, especially you, so wonderful. You know you a queen, so never let them get you off the throne. Perfect just the way you are, you're blessed beyond the title. God took his time when he made you. One of a kind, you born and grew. Top of the line, not a radical. So up in the time, it's so magical. God took his time. One of a kind, top of the line, stop in the time. God took his time, one of a kind, top of the line,
stop in
the
time.
I don't know how the sound was on that.
Yes, that sounded great. God definitely took his time, even with your gift, all right?
Thank you, brother.
We're going to take that all the way to the bank. Adia, you definitely got something special. Thank you so much for coming on here and sharing.
Thank you for having me.
No worries, no worries. Do not be a stranger. Anytime you're dropping a project or you got something you want to promote, pull up on us and come talk your smack, all right?
Definitely. Nice to meet you.
Nice to definitely meet you. Don't be a stranger. We're going to connect.
All right, bye.
All right, bye, everybody. Adia, everybody. So that was Adia. Adia Sings, to be exact. And she broke it down. One of a kind.
Yes.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. You gotta be one of a kind out here. All right, so let's get the King Tavia Dante Mori in the house. Independent artist, football player. All right, a whole bunch of black excellence about to pull up on the live. Brother, younger brother to Tia, Tamara, and Taj. He's his own person, Tavia.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Welcome welcome to the show, man.
Hey, man, you really pronounced my name right, bro. Man, I appreciate that, man, for real.
And of course, Tavia, man. It looked like what it said.
That's hey, you know what I'm saying? But I appreciate that for real, bro.
Of course. Hey, welcome to Black Culture to Breakdown, man.
Hey, what's up, Black Culture to Breakdown? What's popping?
Man, what's going on? Tell the people who you are and what you do.
Man, I'm Tavia Dante Mori. I am first and foremost a human being, man. You know what I'm saying? And all I'm here to do is just to do what I'm destined to do, whatever I'm called to do, you know what I'm saying? And just fulfilling that, that's what's important to me. I know this is like, you asked for a short answer and this is a long answer, but what the thing that caught me off when you was like, well, what do you do? I do a lot, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not just confined to what I do, you feel me? I'm bigger than what I do. But to answer your question, I make music. I'm an artist, producer, writer, performer, musician. I play instruments, actor, director. But I don't want to be that dude that's just running his mouth saying all these things. But
bro, this is all the things that you do. You can run your mouth. This is your show today. Do what you want to do.
Word, I appreciate that.
Of course, man. Bring it back to the beginning, man.
The beginnings?
I feel like that you've been, like, even though you may not even understand your magnitude in this industry, I definitely feel like we all definitely know who you are, you know? And but I want you to bring it back to the beginning for people that don't understand. But you grew up in the Mori household.
Yeah.
And you have super famous siblings, T.A.T. And Tosh, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that process like growing up in that household?
It was, on one hand, that's just family, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's my sister. That's my brother. And, like, do you have any siblings?
I do.
Yeah, so it's like, how many, you got, like, sisters, brothers? What's going on?
Yeah, sisters and brothers.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, hey, so, like, if I was like, hey, what's up with your sister? I'd be like, oh, that's my sister. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it was inside the house, you know what I'm saying? But you step outside the house and things are different, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
But my perception of them, like, that's blood, that's family over everything. And, you know, we come from very strong-willed parents. A lot of people don't know, like, my pops was in the military for 20 years. My mom was in for 13. And we were raised with those values, very, like, militaristic, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, a commitment to excellence, and that kind of just bleeds over into anything and everything we do. So that's kind of what it was like growing up in that house. It's just like, man, if you're gonna do something, you gotta do it right, you know what I'm saying?
So now, you mentioned just having a militant, you know, like a militant, I guess, base, because mom and dad
were years.
How influential was this brought up, that upbringing, in your career and your life right now?
Oh, it's so pivotal. Like I live in Nashville right now, Tennessee. I moved out here like a year ago, but like it. I don't care if I'm in a Kroger. I don't care if I'm at a movie theater. If I'm anywhere, it's still to this day, yes sir, no sir. Like I'm showing honor to my elders. I'm showing respect even to people my age and younger, just off of principle. You don't need to prove yourself to me to get respect from me. You have it just by nature, you know what I'm saying? So by walking through this life and carrying that with me, I already have, I won't say like a leg up, but like I have a accurate perception of how to operate in the business world, because I'm serving respect, you know what I'm saying? And like, you gotta give respect to get respect, but I don't give it to get it. I just give it off of principle, so it comes back, you know?
That's the trick. Yeah. You're giving out gems right now. You be good and come back to you, I promise you.
That's facts.
Great facts. Bringing it back to, I guess, the upbringing, because we want you to
Yeah, let's do it.
So you can bring us to current. But now, you grew up in this really famous family, man.
Mm-hmm.
When did you realize, like, oh, snap, my sisters are famous and my brother is famous? Like, when did that
I think it was like, it had always, sorry, if you hear music in the background, my wife, she's playing guitar in the other room. All right, so it was kind of one of those things where when I became around like elementary school age, you start to understand like, yo, and I'll be honest with you, people treated me one kind of way, but when they find out who I am, they start treating me a different way. And then I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then as I grew older and started to mature even more, I would witness the switch up, you know what I'm saying, like on cue. And then I was like, okay, cool. So I guess in this world, if you're somebody of like some kind of stature, people would treat you differently because of that. But they'll also look at you differently even if they don't know who you really are. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was always like, you know, if somebody's going to treat me a certain kind of way off the rip just because off of hearsay, I'm going to at least let you know who I really am so you can make an accurate analysis of who I am. You know what I'm saying? So that was kind of the whole situation growing up and realizing that, like, you know, people be buddy-buddy when they find out who you are, but wasn't really trying to be cool with you in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
So that, now, how did that, like, when did you learn how to navigate? Because you think about it, like, you were the one that wasn't necessarily in Hollywood per se. Or were you when we didn't?
So my sisters were doing sister, like 15, 16. They're 15 years older than me. So I was young. So I came up and they was already on. So while my brother and sisters, they would be going out on auditions, my mom would be like, hey, I want you to go out on auditions too. So I would go out on auditions as a kid. But I was just like, Ma, like, I'm just trying to ride my bike right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, the boys is out at the cul-de-sac. Like, we throwing around the football. Like, I'm trying to play football. I don't want to go do that. So all I was focused on was being a football player. Like, that's all I wanted. You know what I'm saying? That was my main focus. So acting was, like, I didn't really rock with it like that at the time. I can't say that right now because, you know, I am acting currently. So,
dope. So, man. So it's interesting. So everything kind of like did like a 180 for you. So let me ask you, looking back now, would you, if your mom's was to give you that opportunity again to be back on auditions, knowing what back and be like, Mom, put me in everything.
Oh, no, I would not trade it for the world. I would not trade it for the world. Because if I hadn't walked this path that I walked, I wouldn't be the man that I am today. 100% fact. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. And, like, I love myself. You know what I'm saying? And it took time to get there, but I'm here. You feel me?
Definitely here, man. So, you know what? Again, now, I feel like your siblings are a part of Black culture.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
How important are they to you as an icon in Black culture? Not just being their bro, but just looking at them just as a fan of their work. How important are they to you?
They're incredibly important to me. It's a beautiful thing to have positive Black role models, both male and female, and showing our people in a positive light, in a light of intelligence, in a light of affluence, in a light of influence, you know what I'm saying? And then just like a commitment to the craft and also like not selling out for 15 minutes. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? A lot of people be doing some wild stuff for 15 minutes and we don't play that. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. That's moms and pops right there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
As it pops, man, I feel like it's interesting to just see that long, you know, and it's obviously with the way that you guys were raised and this longevity in what you guys do, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If anybody takes anything away from that, that's the most.
100%.
Man, let's go into what it is that you do.
Okay.
About when your first, like, Hollywood moment happen? Like, okay, like I'm not just a, you know, I actually have a gig that is not just being Tavia. What was
okay.
That?
I'd say the first, I directed my first music video, and it was the first time I directed anything before. Mm-hmm. And it was my music video, but I was directing, and there were so many talented people that were there, that were coordinating what was going on. So like I met with the director of photography, and then she introduced me to the camera operator, the lighting and the gaffers, all that kind of stuff. But I remember I put up on set the first day and I was like, yo, like, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. You know what I'm saying? And I was nervous. I was mad nervous. But, you know, I shot a couple of prayers before I got, like, into the mix with everybody. And then I just let it go. And, you know what I'm saying? What was inside of me just came out. And I was just functioning in something that I guess I was called to already.
Definitely, 100% facts. Man, I'm a director, so I completely understand.
You feel me, bro?
I remember my first project versus what my projects are like now. And I'm telling you, you don't know what you're doing in the beginning, but you just got to dive into it. What you
going have to. You like, have to. You have to.
So now, you created this masterpiece called Honey Part 1.
Oh, man, thank you. I appreciate that, for real.
Definitely. Diddy Bop is a bop. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
but
hey, bro, where you from, bro? Where you from?
I'm from New York.
Okay. I love it, bro. I love the energy, bro. I love it.
Energy is everything, man. But Diddy Bop is definitely right. Money in my pocket. I like the energy. You definitely got like a J. Cole flow a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, cool. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
It's lyrical. J. Cole's from New York. Wait, he's from New York. Yeah, he's from New York.
I think he's originally from Carolina, but he's like set up in New York though, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Because he played ball in St. John.
Yeah.
But okay, that sounds about right. But it's just the energy of the way that you rap. I feel like I'd rap it because you was talking real stuff.
I appreciate that, man, for real.
Okay. But talk to us about Honey Park.
So it's interesting because like I'm an independent artist. I don't desire to be signed to a label. And I made Honey Part 1 with like some of my close friends, you know what I'm saying? Some of my best close friends. And they're the same people that I made this new project with, you know what I'm saying? And the beautiful thing is witnessing the growth. So Honey Part 1 was essentially like just getting like paint on the board and seeing like, okay, like let's see how it sticks, you know what I'm saying? And it stuck in a certain way, and I learned so much because I was able to actually see something, you know? It was kind of like what you were talking about, your first directing gig, and like when you first, you didn't know what to expect, but when you did it, after that, from then on out, you're like, all right, I could for sure do that. I'm definitely not gonna do that. I'm gonna do this, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, so like that's kind of what Honey Part 1 was for me. And I was like, it was a short amount of time ago, like 2 years, but I was just such a different man then than I am now. And you could hear it in the music. And I'm proud of Honey Part 1. Like that was my first project, but it was definitely one of those things where I was like trying to prove something to somebody. And like, what I really landed on was I was trying to prove something to myself. And I didn't even really need to prove nothing to myself, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's why the music sounds different now that I'm making now, because I'm just being me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just loving myself and just like getting after it. You feel me?
But you know what? But I still feel like, you know, Honey Part 1 definitely was a good body.
I appreciate that.
Just to kind of stamp, just kind of like, you know, like stamp your music stamp in the world as your first project is quality, bro. You know,
I appreciate that.
Project put up right now, if you can make the fans listen to, you know, one of your tracks right now, which one would you introduce?
I would say Diddy Bop for sure, but a close second would be Ceiling Fan Confessions. That one would be for sure one. Like, I wrote that at the beach. Like, I was looking at the waves writing that. I write all my own lyrics. That's something that I pride myself on. Because it's like, man, if it's hip-hop, and I wouldn't consider myself a rapper. It's just something that's in my tool bag. But if you're going to write raps, bro, you need to write those raps. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. So, Ceiling Fan Confessions is a story that's near and dear to my heart because that's something that's really real. You know what I mean? So, that's what I would say.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm about to play Ceiling Fan Confessions.
All right.
So, love, if you're more, introduce the chat.
All right. What's up? I'm Tavry Moore. This is Ceiling Fan Confessions. Please enjoy it. Thank you.
I wish I could rewind like a VHS, yo.
Hey, shout out to VHSs, bro. hey, people, the kids nowadays will never know what it's like when you popped into VHS and it was at the end of the movie and you had to wait for it to rewind back to the start.
They'll never know.
They'll never know.
But you know what? I miss some of them days. You know why?
Oh, why?
It made you just appreciate the moment.
Mm.
Everything that was so quick and easy, action, mad, impatient. But back then you had to wait. You gotta chill. You know what
I mean? Yeah, take it easy.
And that right there was dope, man. So we excited about whatever you about to pull up on us next week. Talk to us about your new project.
Cool, man. I have this project. It's called Run. Like, R-U-N with an exclamation point. It's called Run. Just Run. And we made it during quarantine. I made it out here in Tennessee, Nashville. And you mind if I tell a story behind, like, the name? Okay. So, like, there's two meanings behind it. So the first meaning is kind of a funny one where it's like, you know, like, when black folks see people running, we don't ask no questions. We just start running. like we out, we don't care who's running which way, but wherever you running to, I'm running too. You know what I'm saying? So, like, with that understanding, how I want people to receive the music is, I just want to just go, just take it. Like, don't be asking questions like, hey, where'd this come from? Like, nah. If you like it, you like it. So go run with it. You know what I'm saying? And then the other story, when I went to school at UC Davis, it's like 10 minutes outside of Sacramento. And, I was kind of like interning, at this like, school, if you will, after college, in the Oak Park community in Sacramento. It's like a historic black community. It's actually going through like a lot of gentrification right now. It's very unfortunate, but Reverend Jesse Jackson was speaking at an event at like a historic black theater in the community. And I was like, oh, what? Like, he's about to be there. I'm about to be in there with bells on. You know what I'm saying? So he was speaking and he spoke on like a multitude of topics. And something that stuck to me to this day is this. He was talking about how people in my generation often approach him and are complaining to him, talking about how, like, hey, I want to do X, Y, and Z, and I see other people doing X, Y, and Z, but they just feel so far ahead of me. And like, I just don't know how to like bridge that gap and how to get closer. And he answered them and he said, it's simple. Like, just run faster. You know what I'm saying? So like, if you want to close distance on something, if you want to close distance on a goal, if you see the greats far off and they look far from you, like, they're not going to slow down. So if they're not going to slow down, the only way that I'm going to close in, I got to run faster. So that's why it's called run. Just run.
Oh, man. And you know what now? You obviously used to be an athlete. I'm sure you probably still get busy on the football field. But talk to us about that competitive nature that just kind of lives within you, even if competition is not necessarily the motive goal. But when you're in the game and you know it's game time, how important is that?
I feel that. I love competing. Something that I've learned as I've gotten older is I just love playing, yo. Like, if we're playing cards, if we're playing video games, if we're playing anything, like, of course I'm trying to win. Like, let's not get that mixed up. You know what I'm saying? Of course I'm trying to win. But if I lose, I'm not out here like, man, like, I'm going to go sit down. Like, I don't want to play anymore. I'm like, no, like, let's keep playing. You know what I mean? But that competitive spirit, it doesn't go away. But something that I learned when it comes to art is that, like, it could be toxic if left unchecked. You know what I'm saying? So it's something that I try and keep away from. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, when... toxic, like, when do you like when does that like yo, I think I gotta be bow out of this. I think I'm being a little,
I think it's like a posture of your heart, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, am I jealous that somebody got this opportunity? Like, that's not cool, bro. That's a red flag, you know what I'm saying? I can't be carrying that around, you know. I gotta stay light, you know what I mean? So when I started to feel that kind of stuff creeping in, or feeling entitled, you know what I'm saying, to something, like, why do you feel entitled to something? Like, are you trying to say that you're better than this person and that this person shouldn't have this, that, or third? You know what I'm saying? That's when I feel like it's toxic. But, like, I'm naturally inclined to get after it. Like, I don't need an extra nudge to, like, do something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just in me.
Definitely. So that's the question of the day, bro. Born hustler, right?
Yeah.
Ask you this. Can you be turned into a hustler by being taught, or is that something that you got to be born with? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think you can be. I think it goes both ways. But I'd say it's easy to hustle if you're passionate about something. It's easy.
Yeah.
You got the I need that. You know what I'm saying? But like, I'm a really passionate person. So when I'm passionate about something, I'm going 110. You know what I mean? And I really believe, like, there's no such thing as trying. Like, it's either you doing it or you're not doing it.
Come on.
No.
Okay. Ain't nothing else. Completely understand and agree with everything that you're saying. Now, Thurman and Adia, they were the segments before you, and I asked them both the same question, and they both gave you different answers. Interesting. Because I feel like there is no right or wrong answer to that question, right?
It's okay.
Hustler, or if someone is turned into a hustler. Mm. But, like, some people watch how kings lead and kings of their own because they've seen it and they were able to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people do watch kings and they just always become they still remain a follower.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It just, something just doesn't click in their brains for them to be like, well, I can do what they do. I could just, you know, never gets there. But then I feel like there's some people that were born bossy. No matter what, it just got to be their way or no way at all. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Interesting, complex, but I just wanted to hear your thought of view on that.
As far as, like, why that's so?
Yeah.
I think, like, at the end of the day, it just boils down to desire. Like, what do you desire to do? And it also, like, I think what's in tandem with that desire is, like, are you comfortable? You know what I'm saying? Are you satisfied? Are you content? Are you, like, Well, let me take back content. Are you complacent? Because there's a difference between being complacent and being content. You know what I'm saying? It's good to be content. That's cool. It's not cool to be complacent. And like a lot of complacent people aren't necessarily prone to like go get that. Because like I'm big chilling. Like I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to do all that. But I don't know. I guess for me, the way that I see things is that it's like, especially in the era and age we live in, man, like this is one of the most interesting times as yet on earth.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like you're in New York right now and I'm looking at you, bro. Like I'm in Nashville. You feel me? It's crazy. But it's like, man, we have access to so much, so like why not turn it up? You know what I'm saying?
And I feel like it just takes just working smarter and not harder. And when you know how to knock out 8 birds on stone, you on the way, you know?
That's facts. That's straight up facts.
Definitely. Man, going back to Run, all right? When is that popping? I see anybody was asking in the comments, when is that popping?
You know what? I don't know, because it's crazy. Like, I'll give some more inside information. It's 9 tracks. They're all singles. Every single song is a single. I think for me, I'm trying to, you know how you're speaking about killing 8 birds with 1 stone? Like, I perceive my songs as like audio assets, right? So I got 9 audio. I'm gonna let y'all into what's going on. I got 9 audio assets, and each asset is an investment, you know what I'm saying? And I want to see a return on that investment as I give it out to the public. But how can I get like how can I get the most return on that investment, you know what I'm saying? Am I positioning it in the correct time? Are people aware of what I'm doing, you know what I'm saying? Cuz like I've heard that the sweet spot is between talent and awareness. When those two things intersect, that's when it's going through the roof. Because there's a bunch of talented people that people have no idea that they're here. And it sucks because that artistry isn't experienced. And then there's a lot of people that have a lot of eyes on them. And maybe their skill set isn't like the other people. But since they have a lot of eyes on them, they see more opportunity.
But do we have the right to judge that? Let me ask you. However people get to wherever they get to in life, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some people have 10,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have 10 million followers, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the 10,000 followers can sing in 5 octave ranges, play an instrument. And the person that got 10 million followers can only sing in 1 octave range and kind of can hold a 2-step, right? But it's just a reality.
It is. That's right.
You have the right to judge and say, how are they there? Or is it just the, like you said, the awareness meets talent, meets right time, meets whoever they know?
Yeah, no, that's facts. I don't think there's any space for judgment, to be honest with you, because like they're doing something right to a certain degree. But at the same time, it's like, I think the real question is like, how did you get there? Like, how was that journey? It was like kind of circling back to what we were talking about earlier. It's like, what'd you do for that 15 minutes? Because, like, that 15 minutes is going to go away. But, like, what you did to get that 15, that's going to stick around. So it's like, if you're true to yourself and you've moved about in an honorable way and you do get those millions of views, bro, you're going to be sleeping at night. Straight through the night, no problems. But if you're out here wilding and you get it all, I don't know if you're gonna be sleeping that well. You know what I'm saying?
100% facts.
Yes.
Dr. Catrice is on here. She's saying, "And can you maintain?" That's 100%
facts. That's big facts. That's big facts. Like that interview. I forget who Jay-Z was talking to, but he was talking about like that being like white hot and how long. Have you seen that interview? He was talking about that. So Jay-Z was talking about like, as far as artists go, like their trajectory of popularity. And you know how when things are like super hot, they get like white hot. Like it's like, you seen like metal, it's like white hot and they're molding it. So it's like, he was saying that you can only be that hot for so, so long. You know what I mean? And he was talking about how to like extend that and make that as long as possible. And then from there, you're able to like maintain, you know what I mean? And you see a lot of people talking about like, oh, cool, you're hot now, but like, are you gonna be here next summer? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where the talent and awareness comes across. Because if you have the talent, you're not going to fade away. You know what I'm saying?
That's 100% fact.
Yes!
Yo, Baby is dropping gems. I'm about to put your cash out so they can start paying. Because they you definitely dropping too many gems. And it's free, all right? and so much definitely in the works. We've got one to be on the lookout for. And I feel like we are definitely excited to see where you are in this new chapter, new phase in your life, my brother. Hear what you got to say.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that for real. Yeah. For real, man.
Definitely. So now, do we see a potential collaboration with any of your siblings coming up? Is that?
Yo, like, what's crazy is before I even put out Honey Part 1, I actually was on my brother's record when I was still in college. I spit like a quick, smooth verse for him. So that was like 2016, like that was a while back. But yeah, for sure in the future, my brother's so busy, my sister's mad busy. So at some point for sure, you know what I mean? I would love to do that. I think it'd be really dope.
It would be dope to get all of y'all on the track. Y'all all sing.
Or that's right.
Music.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That'd be dope, fire. For the couple.
Got to.
So now, man, the acting, man, you mentioned that, you know, I saw your post.
Which and, one?
Maybe your second to last, you only got like 9 posts.
Oh, yeah, I wiped that.
The last, looking at it right. No, your third to last post.
Oh, the one where I was talking to myself?
Yes. And you said that was July 20th, like ages ago. I'm not the same man in the picture. That post, right?
When okay, yeah.
Down like so many like pockets of what you were going through, that you felt like you were just behind the shadow of what has been bestowed upon you
in terms. Okay,
of, right. Mm. Now that you're in your purpose, you're doing music, got the acting. How do you feel in 2021 about
it? I feel good. I feel great, man. Like I said earlier, I love myself, and it's an active thing. Like love is active. So like I have to choose to love myself today. Just like I choose to love my wife. Like I choose my wife every single day. You know what I'm saying? And I also choose myself every single day. I choose to like see myself the way God sees me. You know what I mean? Because like for me, that's the only truth. You know what I'm saying? Like you may say something kind about me or something ugly about me, but like that's an opinion. But that's not necessarily the truth, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I hang my hat on the truth, and that's what allows me to see myself accurately. And I'm just excited, man, like, through and through, for real.
Man, people about what you got acting coming up. What you got coming up? Tell us.
So, I actually got a role in a movie, which was pretty cool. Yeah. So, I'm like... Like,
audition?
What's that?
You had to audition?
I had to do some, I don't even know the lingo that well. The, you send in like you reading lines, you know what I'm saying? It's okay. Like a self tape. It was a self tape. Yeah. I had to send it in the self tape and they're like, okay, cool. Like, I think you'd be good for the role. And my brother-in-law is actually starring in it, Corey. Yeah. So it was crazy because I only shot for a day, and as we were wrapping the second scene that I was in, he pulled up on set, and I was like, "Oh, what's up, bro? Like, what's going on?" And it was just crazy, like my first opportunity like that to still be around family and my brother-in-law at that. So it was dope.
In it?
What was that?
You didn't know he was in it?
No, I didn't know he was in it, but it was like, it was during Corona, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like it was in Atlanta, and like I knew he was shooting, but the restrictions for who was on set and all that stuff was like mad tight. You know what I mean?
Makes sense. That definitely makes a lot of sense. So are you allowed to tell us the name of the movie and where we could find it at, or you can't take?
I could tell you the movie's Karen. I can tell you that's the movie. I can't tell you when it's coming out or where it's coming out, but please keep your eyes peeled for it. It's going to be good.
Okay. Are you excited about it?
I'm geeked. I'm so hyped. I'm geeked. I'm all the way turned up.
Okay, man. So the Hollywood bug bit you? Are you like, you ready? Is it like go time? You ready to break out out here?
Hey, what's up, man? That's all I got to say. What's up, man? Like, what's going on?
Listen, hit the line. Everybody hit me. Producers, casting agents, hit me.
Yeah, that's facts.
That's 100% facts, man. So if you could give advice to anybody out there that want to get into music and want to get into acting and just feeling maybe discouraged, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would be some words of wisdom you would give to them?
This is something that I'm like, don't despise humble beginnings. It's good. It's good. It's really good because it's like whatever you're going through, whatever season you're in right now, like it's necessary because that's what's building you for what you're about to go through into. You know what I mean? You don't want to pull up and be in an opportunity or position that you're not equipped for, you know? So just take it one day at a time. Like that's my pops always tells me, like, take it one day at a time. Cause that's all we can do. You know what I'm saying? Tomorrow's not promised, but so long as you make sure you get the most out of today, you're growing every day and that's success. That's my definition of success. If you're growing, you're successful.
Yes. Yes. 100% fact. Like growing, you're successful, take it one day at a time. You don't want to get a situation that you're not prepared for.
No.
All of those things that you said is all facts. And, you know, even for me, I felt like you on this grind, you hustling, you take any opportunity because you feel like, I don't care, I'm going to just do it. But sometimes it's not your time and wasn't ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is still cooking. You're not mentally ready to even deal with whatever that situation is. You know what I'm saying? So it's dope, man. You woke, man. You know what time it is. And I definitely see that you're going to have a dope career because you're ready. Man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that for real.
Of course, man. Anything that we should be on the lookout for that you want us to know about that we ain't covered?
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So I'm an independent artist. When I came out to Tennessee, I created my own company. It's called We On The Light. And this is the company and brand in which I release my music through. So whenever you see We On The Light, that's my business. And since that's my business, I'm a black businessman, a young black businessman at that. So understand what that means, you know what I'm saying, for everybody that sees any black entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying, trying to make it happen. We got to support each other, and that's the biggest thing, because our strength is in each other, you know what I mean, and that's like the most valuable thing. So you see We On The Light anywhere, you just know Tavor Mori is behind that name, and that support means the world to me, whether it be music, videos, film, TV, whatever it is, it means the world to me. Yep. So, yeah.
Okay. And make sure y'all definitely go and support that and run up that honey pump. Yes. And make sure you look out for that run because it's coming.
Yes, sir.
About to hit whatever it's about to hit, but we know you're about to be a something. You know what I'm saying? So,
thank you.
And man, last but not least, I feel like your wife, talk to us about just being a married man.
I need that. I need that. Man, it's a beautiful thing, bro. It's a beautiful thing, man. And like I wouldn't say like she's my other half, you know what I'm saying? But like she's definitely like the portion of the cup that runs over, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm already complete, you feel me? But with the addition of her, I just doubled up. Like I got like my territory just expanded, you know what I'm saying? I just got stronger and I got somebody that I know I can communicate with, that I can be honest with, that someone that's here for me, someone that's honest with me, someone that sharpens me, you know what I'm saying? Someone that, by way of marriage, like reveals some of the ugly things that may be in my heart, you know what I'm saying? That need to be tended to, you know what I mean? And I'm just grateful every single day to have an opportunity to call her my wife. And that's nothing to play with, bro. For real. I need it.
Man, I could definitely see the way that you got. And got a couple goals, all right?
Yes.
Y'all out here, all right? It's definitely a thing. How much of your dad and your mom do you see in you and your wife?
I see it. My mom's a very strong woman. Very, very strong woman and a natural woman at that. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen my mom wear like a weave or like a wig before. And my wife's hair is natural, you know what I'm saying? So that was like, in my mind, it was like, well, why wouldn't it be like a fro? You feel me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, low key, I see my pops and myself every day. I'll do something and I'll be like, man, that reminds me of my dad so much. And like, it makes me frustrated and happy at the same time. But yeah, nah, it's dope. It's really dope, man.
Definitely. Man, appreciate you coming from Black Culture.
Thank you so much, man.
No worries. Whenever you're in New York City, please, man. Everybody connects me for you. Your niece out here called Lotus Nation.
Hey. Honestly, I'm trying to get up to New York soon. We're going to have to link.
Bro, just link us. We're going to definitely do it. Whatever you're trying to do, let's make it happen, man.
For sure, man. I appreciate you, man.
Of course, appreciate you back, man. Let me just close it out with this. Everybody that is tapped in, this is Black Culture Breakdown episode 24. And it's all about Born Hustler. We got Tavia Mori on here.
Hey.
Open it out and appreciate y'all for tapping in.
Appreciate y'all. Love.
All right. Peace.